Father, bless now the word of God as we share. I pray, God, that you would take your word and, Lord, you would help us to grow, to draw closer to you, we pray. And all of God's people said, amen. For those of you that maybe have not been here for a while, maybe you're a guest here, we've been going through the book of Matthew. Today we're on lesson number 22. We also mentioned last service, if you do not have a child or you're in a middle school girl or high school girl, by the time we finish Matthew, you probably will have 3 or 4 kids, all right, because it's kind of taken us a while. But today we're on Matthew chapter 5, verses 41 through 42. Now, last time we were together last week, we went over verses 38 and 39. Jesus here is sharing that retaliation should not be part of a kingdom citizen's life, that we should be individuals that are able to rise above the fray. And what was happening is the religious people were taking really court system or civil justice material, and they were applying it into people's personal lives. There was a place for civil justice in the court system. There was a place for retaliation by the courts, but that should not have carried over into the personal lives of kingdom citizens, what we would call believers in Jesus. And so Jesus begins by saying, you've heard that it was said, and it was in the Old Testament, that it should be an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth and a hand for a hand, a foot for a foot, a wound for a wound, a burn for a burn. And it's meted out for us there in Deuteronomy chapter 21 or 24, verses 21 through 24. You can read about it. It's also in a couple of other Old Testament books that when somebody committed a crime against another person in which they inflicted harm upon that person, then the court systems would also do the same thing to that person. It did two things. Number one, it let people know that if you did something like this, that you were going to be punished for it. And second of all, it allowed people to know that the punishment should not be excessive, that whatever you did, the punishment should not exceed the crime. And hopefully in that it would deter people from doing those things. But that was taken and misappropriated into one-on-one personal relationships. So Jesus comes along and he says, look, yes, you've heard, you know about this, but I say to you, I'm not talking about civil justice. I want to deal with personal relationships. And in fact, the whole Sermon on the Mount, chapters 5, 6, and 7 in the book of Matthew, Jesus is talking about how do we live as kingdom citizens in our personal relationships. I say to you, do not resist an evil person. The court system, they'll already deal with that. But I want to deal with you, how do we live as individuals? It's not about retaliation. Because of who we are and the God that we serve, we have a deeper appreciation and a deeper willingness to give up some of the things that we might hold to without retaliating because we serve the Lord. We began, first of all, by sharing that one of the areas that we should be willing to sacrifice is that of dignity. A slap in the face in the Jewish culture was the utmost humiliation. So Jesus says that we should be willing to suffer that. And in fact, we ought to be willing to turn the other cheek and be slapped again. So Jesus here uses a real life situation to teach a very important principle, that it's not about our feelings. It's not about our dignity. Are we willing to rob ourselves of our dignity for the greater cause? And that is letting people know clearly that Jesus Christ is more important in our lives than how we are treated. And it's not talking about being taken advantage of. We're talking about in a one-on-one situation where we're willing to sacrifice that so a person might see Jesus in and through us, and in fact, they might even come to Christ. In other words, are we a non-retaliatorial type of person? Or is it, you hurt me, I'm going to hurt you. You did this to me, so I'm going to make sure I do this to you. Jesus is saying, don't do that. Be willing to turn the other cheek. We need to be humble, non-avenging. We need to have a gentle spirit that characterizes a kingdom citizen. And then Jesus said, not only that, but are we willing to give up some of our security? If anyone wants to sue you and take your shirt, let him also have your coat also. And we talked about these two principles last week in great depth. And I don't have time to go into all of this and recap last week's message. You can go online, crosspointbangor.com. And I'd encourage you to do that because these are very important principles. But here Jesus is basically saying, if there's a legal judgment against you, are you willing to offer even more to make sure things are made right with that person? That's what that's talking about. All right, so let's finish out our lesson this morning. There are six major areas, and we're going to deal with another one next week. Liberty. Liberty. Interesting. Here we're talking about our convenience. We're talking about our time. Jesus here says, whoever forces you to go 1 mile, now the mile that Jesus is referring to was a Roman mile called a million. A million is actually shorter than our mile. Go with him too. So what's Jesus talking about? Who's going to force you to go 1 mile? In the culture of Jesus, the Jewish people were in bondage to Rome. From the very beginning, when God created Adam and Eve, they were set in a garden without sin. It was never God's intention ever for any person to be in slavery or bondage. God wanted mankind to live in absolute freedom. But just like a lot of things, man has marred and sadly messed up a lot what God had put in place. During the time of Christ, as I said, Rome was in control of what we call the known world. And in that doing so, people were held hostages or in captivity. They would conquer countries and they would enslave them, and they would put taxes upon them, they would use them. And so the Jewish people were a conquered people. They were given freedoms, yes, but ultimately they were a conquered people and they had to live under Roman law. Part of Roman law is that when a Roman soldier wanted another person to carry their equipment, their backpack, they would simply say to them, I want you to carry my equipment, I want you to carry my weapons, and that would give them a time of rest. And when they saw a Jewish person and they would tell that person to do that, that Jewish person had absolutely no recourse. They had to drop what they were doing and carry that Roman soldier's pack and equipment. You say, well, that doesn't sound too bad. Well, let me kind of give you a word picture. You're in Hannaford and you're shopping and you're doing your Saturday shopping in your cart and you're halfway finished, and I come in and I say, you know what? I want you to carry my backpack, and I want you to carry my weapon, my Bible. Here's my sword. And I want you to do it right now, and I want you to follow me because I want to go this way. And we're going to go outside, get in my car, and we're going to run an errand together today because I've got things to do. And you need to stop whatever you're doing, leave your groceries, leave your time, leave your family, and you need to come with me and do what I've asked you to do. And by the way, that's the law, and there's nothing you can do about it. So how does that suit you? Wouldn't go over real well, would it? Because that's the law. And it wouldn't be a good idea to break the law. In other words, Jesus is talking here to people who were under Roman law, who understood that they had no recourse, they had no choice, they had to do what was asked by that Roman soldier. Jesus said, don't only go the mile. To show them that you are a kingdom citizen, go too. Well, Jerry, that's not fair. No one's talking about fairness. Well, Jerry, what about my time? What about this person's time? What about their plans? Don't you think Jesus knew about that when he gave this order? And not only that, the Jewish people, generally speaking, did not have what we would call a positive affinity toward Roman soldiers. In fact, they hated Roman soldiers because they were the ones that kept them in bondage, that kept them in slavery, if you please. that took away their liberty. But yet here is Christ coming along, and he's saying there's something greater than your liberty as a person living under Roman occupation. What's more important is for you to understand that you live in liberty in Christ. And your liberty in Christ is more important than you exercising your liberty as a Jewish person living under Roman occupation. Wow. That's hard for us to fully grasp and understand. Difficult for us to grasp completely. Jesus' point is simply this: when we are robbed of our personal time, when we are robbed of our personal liberty, we are to give more than to retaliate in our relationship with a person. We're not talking about the law. We're talking about when someone possibly that we have aught with that asks us to do something where we have the opportunity to show forth the love of Jesus. We go the extra mile. When someone asks us to do something that's going to take our time and convenience, that we might consider thinking about doing it for the greater cause of Christ. It's not easy. By surrendering, we know that we have a greater liberty in Christ. Jesus then proceeds, if that isn't bad enough, he says, "Give to him who asks of you, and do not turn away from him who wants to borrow from you." Now let me explain the verse so you understand. We're not talking about enabling people. We're not talking about people taking advantage of us. What we are talking about here is meeting a genuine need that a person might have, whereby we can meet that need. This is also very difficult. In fact, if you were to take some time and study the depth of this verse, it's actually hearing about a need and being proactive and meeting that need with the resources that God has given us. When we think of this, we understand that possessiveness, mine, it's all mine, is actually a result of the fall and sinfulness of man. When God created Adam and Eve, sin had not entered into the world. But as soon as sin entered in the world by their choice, we find that possessiveness became a part of who we are. It's my house. It's my car. It's my money. It's my time. Yes, it is. We want to make sure you understand, and I understand. Yes, it is yours, and it's yours to use, and it's yours to keep. But ultimately, it is first God's. Because it is God who has given us those things. And if God has given us certain things to make sure that those things don't possess us, to make sure that we possess those things, God gives us opportunity in our relationships to show that, in fact, a relationship, a person, a need that needs to be met is greater than us possessing those things. And in our 21st century America, when we think about time, as we just talked about, as we think about liberty, as we think about the things that we possess, oftentimes, by the way we live and by the way we demonstrate these things, shows that in fact we are slaves to them. Have you ever given yourself a personal examination? You say, what in the world are you talking about? Let me just give you an example. I'm not saying you have to do this, but at times it might be good for all of us to give ourselves a personal exam to find out what is really preeminent and first in our lives as a kingdom citizen. Let me use some things that might hit all of us, or at least many of us. Let's just use a crazy example. Let's say the Red Sox continue to play well like they're playing, for those of you that follow sports. I could use a lot of analogies, but this is an easy one. And the Red Sox, as we know, are the defending world champions, and October comes, and guess what? They're getting ready to play the seventh game of the World Series. One way, I'm not saying you should, I'm not saying you have to, I'm just throwing it out there. But maybe there's something going on the inside of you, and you're going to see more as we get to some other points here, but what would it take for you not to watch the seventh game of the World Series between the Red Sox and we know the St. Louis Cardinals will be there? By faith. By my faith. I'm not saying you have to do anything. What I am sharing with you is, have we gotten to the place in our personal lives where we're willing to do some things, dignity, security, liberty, property, that shows myself that I control my destiny and the things that I own and have don't control my destiny? How do we do that? And I'm not advocating you miss the seventh game of the World Series. I'm just trying to challenge us to think. The Apostle Paul came to the place in his life. This is what Jesus is getting at. Because Jesus' standard of righteousness was so much deeper than what the Pharisees and Sadducees were teaching. Paul came to the place in his life where he said, I have been crucified, not physically on a cross, but he came to the place where he crucified himself, where it was no longer he who lived. I mean, yes, it was physically, but it was Christ who lived in and through him. Notice what he did. But Christ lives in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, Paul said, that life that I live in the flesh, my life by faith that I live in the Son of God, he did it because God loved him and gave himself up for him. He lived his life as a dead man. You know what I found about people who die to self and Christ is so much a part living in and through him is that, are you ready? Dead people don't get offended. Dead people don't fight for every right that they might even deserve. Dead people don't retaliate. Dead people don't get angry inappropriately. Dead people don't always have to have their way. This is what Jesus is talking about. George Mueller, as you see, his statement is very close to Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. If you don't know George Mueller, you can obviously Google it and look it up. But he was an extraordinary person of faith. We could have used other people as well. But he was into orphanages and feeding children, and there would be times when he just had no resources, and he would pray to God, and God would meet that need. But how did that happen? I love this quote. There was a day, he said, when I died. Utterly died to George Mueller and his opinions. I died to my preferences, he said. I died to my tastes. I died to my will. I died to the world. Can I share something with you? While we are breaking our neck, and don't misunderstand what I'm just trying to share something. While you're breaking your neck and I'm breaking my neck to see what LeBron James has to say, and I'm not anti-LeBron James, or what Lady Gaga is doing, or if Tiger Woods is going to win that tournament, or if Tom Brady is going to break the latest record, or who's going to win that tennis tournament, and I follow those things too. I just want us to understand that in the depth of your pain and hurt and challenges, they're not going to call you. While we're living our lives obsessed and glamorized by all of this stuff, and I'm not saying we shouldn't follow the stuff. All I'm saying is when push comes to shove, is our priority in the morning when we get up, is dying to self and putting our eyes on Jesus, or is it running to Facebook to hear the latest rumor of what's going on? That's what I'm talking about. You see, we get to the place of the Apostle Paul and George Mueller when we die to self. It doesn't mean that we die to everything in the world. Don't misunderstand what I'm teaching this morning. I'm not saying we disconnect from the world and we don't know what's going on. We need to know what's going on. And there's nothing wrong with following any things that I've said. What I'm saying to you this morning, when push comes to shove, what really matters is how close we are to Jesus, not to the NBA or Major League Baseball or Hollywood or Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram. The old proverbial, we could hear a pin drop. Because you know exactly what I'm saying is true. You know exactly what I'm saying is true. We as Christians have been absolutely culturalized. To God, we get excited about Jesus as we do all these other things. And there's nothing wrong with any of those other things if we have the right priorities. That's what Jesus is teaching. George Mueller came to the place where he died to George Mueller. Paul came to the place where he died to the Apostle Paul. Do you realize what would happen in marriages if we would die to self? Do you realize what could happen at Cross Point Church if we had 1,000 people, including the pastor, that would be willing to die to our opinions, our preferences, our taste, and what I want? Imagine what God could do if we died to ourselves. You know why churches split? It's because we don't die to ourselves. You wonder why divorces happen? It's because we don't die to ourselves. You want to know why there's problems between employers and employees? It's because we don't die to ourselves. Amen, 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 amen. Am I wrong here? I don't think so. Because it's all about what I want. It's me. It's me. It's my will. It's what I want. It's my rights. Listen, our culture is obsessed with rights. My right, my right, my right. Where in the New Testament can you show me a verse that Jesus obsessed about his rights? In fact, I can show you plenty of passages where it was just the opposite. And when Jesus was being beaten up and spit upon, did he ever claim his rights? Yes or no? No. He could have. In fact, when he was on the cross, he said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they." Thank you very much. It was Stephen who was being stoned to death, and he prayed, and he said the exact same thing. Forgive them. And what do? We fight. Why? Because we've been culturalized. Why? Because we're not dead. It's all about me. It is. We don't like to admit it. We don't like to hear it. And I think it is so awesome that this lesson happened to fall on Mother's Day. Why? Because for the most part, that's exactly the way mothers are. They die to self. You know why a mother gets up all night with a kid who's screaming their heads off and is throwing up everywhere? Is because they've died to self. That's why they do it. You want to know why a mother hangs with their child to the nth degree when most people say, you're crazy? Why? Because they die to self. That's what they do. That's why we say, hi, mom, because we know they die to self. It's not about them, it's about their family. We all know that. I mean, guys, we know that, don't we? Those guys that are married. And if you've had kids with somebody, you're not going to do what their mother does. Why? They're dead to self. I mean, let's be honest. If there was somebody that wasn't going to eat, would it be the kids, husband, or mom? Thank you very much. That's just what they do. That's what they do. Oh, no. In fact, we've had plenty of times. I remember we'd go somewhere. We just had something the other day, which I wouldn't do it. We all got ice cream cones. It was Jane and I and a couple of grandkids, and we're in the car, and of course they ate theirs real fast, and one of the grandkids said, can I have yours? You're not getting mine. Forget it. Guess who gave them? Jane gave her ice cream. I'm not giving my ice cream. Forget that. No way. You had one. Jane said, well, you can have the rest of mine. It's okay. In fact, I don't know if she even got two bites out of it. And you know what? She enjoyed doing it. I'm thinking, you're nuts. Give it to me. I'll eat the thing. Right? That's what I'm saying. They do things that we guys don't understand that. We'll never understand that. Why? Because that's the way God created us. Here's how old-fashioned we are. We still believe there's a difference between men and women. God created women much differently than men. And a man is not a woman, and a woman is not a man. We are different. God created us that way. And I am glad he did. I am glad he did. I mean, that's a small example, but the point is that mothers die to self. Now, let's take this further. What Jesus is saying, as kingdom citizens, we need to die to self. It's hard stuff. Being a Christian is not for sissies. I'm just telling you. It isn't. It takes a real man, a real woman to be a Christian. I mean, a real Christian. Not get my way Christian, but in fact, Jesus said, I didn't come to serve. I didn't come to be served. He said, I came to what? Serve. I didn't come to be served. This isn't about me being served. Jesus came to serve, to give it all. Like moms, give it all. Preferences, taste, will. I died to the world, to its approval and its censure. Guys, we have a problem with this. We just have to feel like we're important. I'm not saying we shouldn't be. Don't misunderstand what I'm talking about. Nothing wrong with having self-pride and getting approval, but when you're obsessed by it and that's all you drive for, that's a problem. That's where the problem comes in, because that's what controls us. Notice, and since then, since I died, he said. This ought to be a Bible verse. I mean, this is good stuff. He got this from Galatians 2:20, by the way. And since then, since when, since I died to me, I've studied only to show myself approved to who? Boy, if we could just get that. Because if you do this, you'll take care of everybody else. Because if you study and you live your life to be approved by God, you will automatically approve your spouse, your friends, your employer, your employees, even your enemies, because Jesus said, love your enemies. We haven't got there yet. Oh, we're getting there. It may be 15 years before we get there, but we're getting there. All right? If you get anything out of the lesson today, I would encourage you and encourage me, all of us. Somebody's got to teach. I'm as guilty as anybody else. I'm on a journey too. We have to die to self and live for Jesus through the power of the Holy Spirit that lives in us. Imagine, church. Just imagine if Cross Point Church could do this. We'd never have a conflict. No one would ever get upset. We'd all defer. Oh, somebody said that? Oh, that's no problem. I'm dead. You can't hurt me. I'm dead. They did. They call me that. Well, praise Jesus. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I'll just pray for them, that God will work in their hearts. You know, that's exactly what we should do. What did we say? They said what? Well, I'll give you a piece of my mind. Yeah, that's just like Jesus, right? Folks, we operate down here, and Jesus operates way up here. He's got everything under control. So I want us to stand this morning for just a moment. Jess is going to come and play a few chords for us. I don't know where you are in your personal life, but you can't begin to die to self until Jesus becomes part of your life. And if you have never gotten to the place where you recognize that your sin has separated you from God, then I want to encourage you to repent of your sin, to realize it's not being a good person, it's not about being better, it's not about doing more stuff, it's not about coming to more services, it's not a matter of doing more ministry, it doesn't matter how much money you give. That's not what this is about. It's about recognizing that I am broken and I am desperate and I have a hole in my soul that needs to be filled, and only God can do that, church. And if you will cry out in repentance and pray a prayer, it doesn't have to be this prayer. God knows you don't need a template. This is a template. But if you'll just cry out and pray, God, I am a sinner. I am broken. I am in trouble spiritually. I need you. I'm tired of the old way. And God, forgive me and come into my life and make me new. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Give me a new life. He'll do it. He did it for me. He'll do it for you. And for those of you that have already prayed that prayer, are you dead? Is all about your rights? All about your way? Well, I didn't get this, or I didn't get that, or they didn't treat me the right way. Well, they should have did this, and who they think they are, and blah, 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 blah. It was quiet because we're all guilty. And I would encourage you today to say, God, I'm not dead yet, but I'm willing to start the journey. And maybe this, now it's afternoon actually, it's 12:15. Maybe this afternoon, you just pray something like this. God, this is going to be hard for me. But starting tomorrow morning, Monday morning, I'm going to get up and I'm going to say, God, help me to die today. That's what Paul did. That's what you did. And I want to do that too. Why? Because I want people to see Jesus in and through me. I want to live my life in such a way in my personal relationships where people know that there's something different and that they might be drawn to Christ because of my life. Why? Because Jesus, that's what you did for me. And then you'll meet that need that somebody has. You'll share the things that you have. You'll be willing to be insulted and not be offended and retaliate. You'll be willing to give up some of your inconvenience. You won't, you know, have a heart attack if you have to miss something that you just want to see so bad. It's okay. Why? Because you're dead. Maybe we could vote to change the name of the church. Cross Point Dead Church. And I'll tell you what, if that happened, we'd be so alive, you just wouldn't believe it. Some of you don't worship because somebody's standing next to you. You know what? If you're dead, you don't even know somebody's next to you. Why do you care what anybody else thinks? Because you're not dead. And I'm telling you, that will attract things that you can't even believe. And that's my challenge for all of us this week on Mother's Day. Let's die like mothers. Boy, what a great, great challenge for all of us. Pastor Pencil is going to stay down front after our service this morning. If you have questions about what's on the screen right now, he'll stay as long as it, he'll be here all day. He'll stay all day, whatever it takes. Mark will be hanging around as well. He can hang around on this side. And they'll answer your questions. They'll pray with you. But I want to encourage you this week to be a dead Christian. It sounds odd, doesn't it? But it's biblical, isn't it, church? We just read it. Be a Galatians 2:20 Christian. I am dead. Thank you so much for coming today. Tim is going to come and close our service. I'll be hanging around somewhere out back. I just want you to know that I love you, and I just want you to serve Jesus.